Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Conestash of Galair, how are ye? Welcome again to the Snugcast. We love ye. I like to call our listeners something new every time. Tonight I'm going to call the Rapscallions of the Night.
The Rapscallions of the Night.
Yeah.
I love it.
So how are ye? We've had a good few weeks here. We're back in Grady's Yard. One of the new homes of the Snugcast, and we're having a fucking amazing night.
It's mad one. We haven't recorded in 10 days because this week's episode, the week that we're recording, we actually recorded that Monday last week because of scheduling. So feels like we haven't done this in ages.
I know. I've actually missed it. Like it's.
Oh.
I have so much fun doing this. Like it's.
Reference to last week's episode, Andrew's Ashes. Do you know what I seen when they're wanking by the field wall? And just the excitement that was here all day today. The excitement.
Anyway, we'll more on. So anyway, it's Owen here speaking, and joined as always by DJ. DJ. What are you drinking there?
Owen, I've stuck what I was at last week. The captain's table, the oatmeal stout by Yellow Belly Beer. It's hints of coffee, bit of chocolate. And actually, when we were having our chat before we started recording there, I think I described it as that little, when you take the first sip, it's like that bit of coffee kick you get from tiramisu. It's delicious.
Top notch.
So good. And then... yeah, the winter, like, the weather's turned here this week. Like, it's turned from autumn to winter all of a sudden, so it's a real wintry drink. Like, it's perfect on a winter's eve.
As I say to you, I'm going full out Christmas.
Yeah.
This is it.
Fucking snow's falling.
Forget fucking Halloween. It's Christmas time.
Halloween, me hole. Yeah. Speaking of me hole, actually, I was talking to you earlier, the barman here in Grady Yard. Me hole, he was in. We were talking about that, and they're going to have a very, very good stout selection here in Grady's Yard in the build up to Christmas.
Oh, speaking of the
devil, there he is.
There he is.
Just me hall.
Gohanawa.
We just called you Mihol.
So on, my 38 years in this planet, I've never fucking heard that before in my life.
Original. Thanks.
Always a compliment.
What's your next drink on? So Mihol, right? Michal was telling me there that they're going to have some new stouts coming in, and there's a super secret Christmas stout coming out from Yellow Belly Beer that he doesn't even know himself about, so they don't even have an insider scoop on. So we're not privy to that at the moment. I can't wait to find out what it's going to be.
Really looking forward to it. Like, yeah. I love these kind of guest little taps. Like it makes every like trip in here an absolute adventure. You don't know what, like, do you know, even where the belly dance you know, it left.
Yeah.
You know, it was...
One we haven't even spoken about on the podcast, really, is the sunset and the sunrise sours on the side as well, next to the wine taps.
Yeah.
Like, we had a sup of them one night, and we were absolutely bollocks, and they were delicious.
I don't really remember them, but yeah.
No, but they were, trust me, they were. And, like, the thing with those taps are, they're guest yellow belly taps as well, so, like, they do brews that are, like, very, like, a couple of casks. That's it, that's all they do, and then they're gone. So, like, it's fucking... There's always a surprise waiting for you in here. They have a couple of new taps as well up the guest tap section, I saw. Won't get into what they are, because you have to come in yourself and find out. We can't give all their secrets away.
Ah, brilliant, good stuff. And tonight, for first time ever, we are joined by...
A female.
Okay. Fucking hilarious.
By one of our very, very good friends. DJ's former housemate.
For her sins.
An absolute bapalicious babe.
God.
Sonia Nerwin.
Hey y'all.
Sonia, what are you drinking?
Okay, so I'm not much of a beer drinker, but I'm mad into the spirit. So I've tried one of their mixed concoctions. So it's raspberry vodka with citrus, and they top it up with 7-Up, and it's got just a little splash of the raspberry pale ale on it as well. And it's called Mars Ulrich.
Yes.
It's and fucking great.
It's the Martian Jam Pale Ale they top it up with. And Sonia, who is not into the rock music, didn't get the Mars Ulrich reference.
Okay, no, I didn't.
Some of you might be Metallica fans. It's a play on Lars Ulrich, the Metallica drummer's name.
I wish you would let me say that bit.
Sorry. Oh, look, I stole her thunder, but give her thunder back.
Thanks.
What do you make of it, Son?
I love it. It's so good. I can't stop drinking it. It's amazing. It's a great girly drink. But I feel like you guys also really enjoy
it. Yeah, we had a little Sabine of it, and it's fucking delicious.
I had no problem losing my balls when I wanted to take
them. Lose them, yeah, absolutely. Lose them away to this. It's lovely.
The infusions are brilliant here.
It's really fruity and citrusy and delightful.
But strong.
Love it, but strong.
There's a good kick to it, yeah.
I love the way their concoctions normally incorporate one of the beers on tap there,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's a really good idea, because it actually makes me want to try that.
Yeah, exactly.
Pale Ale, and I can't drink beer for two reasons, because I get really aggro on it, and I get really mouthy and
this
start
is true.
Fights. And because I get drunk really, really fast.
And we don't want to say anything, but we might be involved in one of the concoctions in
there may be a Snugcast themed gin fusion coming up here in Grady's Yard. We're in negotiations at the moment with Micheál.
Our royalty.
We love you, Micheál. We really do.
Our royalties are currently at zero, so, you know, negotiations are going well.
We started off on zero, and we've negotiated that we'll pay them to have our name on it. You know, that's a lie. We have no money to pay them.
No, we have no money.
We pay them in money for our pints.
Please give us money.
Please, yeah. Donate. Hashtag donate.
Hashtag charity.
So anyway, I just want to say... Sonia, episode 10 of the Stunkcast.
10?
Double digits. Actually, yeah, sorry, we should celebrate
that's
that. Here,
massive. Clink.
Cheers.
Well done, guys.
Double digits.
Delighted.
And people have actually listened to us. That's the most surprising thing of all.
We're over 800 listens at the moment. That's amazing. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you're definitely international at this stage.
Oh, we are, yeah. Your sister and listens.
My sister in Canada listens. Hi, Ashi.
For anyone that hasn't, shout out to Asha and also Adam and all of Sonia's family legends. But anyone who hasn't picked up, Sonia is not native to Ireland.
Is it that obvious?
I don't know. The listeners might know you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
like,
true.
Like, our Australian, New Zealand listeners might be au fait with
that's
Irish
fair.
Like accents. And, like, to be fair, Irish accents can diversify from region to region.
Yeah, and I think I sound that Canadian anymore at all.
Yeah, you kind of sound like you could pass for someone from Wicklow.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Wait,
yeah.
Is that a
good thing? No, that's a slight on Wicklow people, not you.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I don't think we have any listeners in Wicklow.
Well, you won't anymore anyway.
No break.
Only a bunch of wanderers up there.
Anyway, look, we'll wrap this up, and I think we'll tip on to our first topic there. So, guys, our first topic tonight is basically we're bringing Sonia on board tonight, and Sonia is obviously our first female,
and,
but she's also a foreign guest. So.
My God.
She's an absolute foreigner, like.
Yeah. Don't
from coming, coming here taking our jobs.
Not from this parish, anyway. but, so, we kind of wanted to do kind of a bit of an international topic, right? But a bit lighthearted, right? So we think about what's your favourite holiday destination that you've had, right?
Good one.
So look, I'll probably rock on first.
What?
Answer. So I went travelling for 9 months there last year. So look, I'm actually going to do a two-parter question here, right?
Okay.
Because I think I have to answer from that holiday, because it was amazing, right? And it was such a long period of time. So I spent like a month in Vietnam, and I think Vietnam was probably my favorite place over the whole trip.
I am so happy to hear that, because I am going there in February.
It was, it's such a fucking long, amazing country. It's steeped in history. There's such a difference in like culture, in the food, in the people, everything, like just from the, like we went from south to north,
mm-hmm.
So easy to get around, and like the major cities there, from like Ho Chi Minh or Saigon, as we like to say, in the south, the boys don't really like Ho Chi Minh, like, but yeah, just all the way up to Hanoi in the north,
mm-hmm.
Just amazing, like them. You know, we went to like different places with like beaches and the coast, the jungle treks.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such a diverse thing.
Yeah. What were the people like?
Oh, the people were so nice.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we would have been on a lot of like in a lot of hostels and stuff, and on a lot of tours with American tourists.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
So like, you're kind of there, like, ooh. What's going to be the story here, like, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's the dynamic going yeah. to be?
What's the dynamic,
the boys,
like, you know?
Yeah.
And like, sometimes there might be like a bit of a passing comment, but like, never aggressive. Like the thing about it is that, like Thailand, like their main industry is tourism.
Yeah.
Like they're literally like their economy is based on tourism now. Like
yeah.
it's like Vietnam is the new Thailand. Like, you know.
That's what everyone's saying.
And it's actually like you can see it's going to be ruined.
See, that's why I want to go now.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's like there's beaches in Thailand that are being completely closed now because tourists have just absolutely ruined the cultural, natural, biological aspect of it all.
Yeah, even like when we were in Indonesia as well, like some of the islands have gone like plastic free because like the beach has just been like
such a shame.
Overall. Yeah, it's
such a shame
because they're absolute natural wonders and
yeah.
like they're being destroyed.
But that's brilliant because less plastic, the better.
That's
oh
it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah,
it. That's exactly.
We're eco-friendly.
Eco-friendly podcast.
Glass pint
we drink
glasses.
Out of glass pint glasses, and we only drink beer that has been manufactured in non-plastic kettles.
Oh my god! Can I ask you a question, Owen?
Yeah.
What was your favorite city in Vietnam, or your favorite place that you visited?
Oh,
it made me hard.
Like I really liked Ho Chi Minh, or Saigon, as the boys like to say. Yeah, that was just really cool. Really, really, really busy.
Yeah.
There was so they have this beer there, and it's fresh beer, which in Vietnamese is Bia Hoi, right?
Bia Hoi.
Bia Hoi. Right?
Bia Hoi.
So like this fresh beer is like literally brewed over 2 or 3 days. Like it's fucking. It's like. And like it's, I think it's only maybe about like 2 or 3%. Like it's tiny percentage, right?
Yeah.
But it's. 25 cents for like a pint or whatever, yeah. 25 cents, 50 cents max,
crap.
Like, yeah, right. So they have, I can't remember the name of the street. There's a street anyway in the center of Saigon,
yeah.
And like, so there's like loads, like, there's a few hostels and stuff on it, but. Oh, like it's famous for like being the kind of going out street, like, you know.
Okay.
There,
the Temple Bar of
the Temple Ho Chi Minh, right? But it's like little shit bars,
yeah.
like that are
like dive bars.
like tiny, like, I don't know, like, would you say like 2-3 meters squared of a bar, like tiny bars, right? But
little holes in the wall kind of thing, like,
basically, right?
Yeah.
So they'd have just like the keg and a tap in there, that be a high, right? But outside they have these tiny stools, and like, by tiny stools I mean like you're doing a full on squat, like it must be like about like less than a foot off the floor of the chair, right? So these kind of plastic stools, and they have these kind of like scattered all over the street,
yeah,
all out in front, right?
Yeah.
So you go down and you sit and you go like, oh, you know, two people want to sit, and you go grand. So you're just shoved in beside someone, right? So if, say, five people leave then, right, and the five seats beside you are free, right?
Yeah.
You're one that'll come out of the bar, push you into the seats that have been vacated.
Go
yeah.
along, move along.
So then, like, basically, it's these really, really cheap drinks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they have all these, like, all the locals are so nice, and they'll be in on the act as well.
Yeah.
And like they drink as well, and like, you know, there's this there's a cheers they do there.
What's the cheers?
Oh, it's brilliant.
What is it?
So I actually can't remember. I have a t-shirt with it on, but it's
YouTube it.
It's basically 1, 2, 3 like cheers in Vietnamese, but it is like it gets everyone, you know, it's just like, you know, it's like 1, 2, 3 cheers, 1, 2, 3 cheers, right? Like, and then like, but it's fucking, it's such a great atmosphere there, like.
Oh, I'm so excited now. So excited.
But yeah, they just like, I don't know, they just encompass everything, and then probably one of my favorite things that I did there was the High Van Pass,
okay,
which is where it's like the guys on Top Gear. The old original Top Gear, they rented bikes, so we did the same. We rented bikes, and you drive up this like beautiful, like, so it's basically during the Vietnam War, and the Americans held all the highways, so they took over all the highways.
Okay.
So the Viet Cong and Vietnamese, to counteract this, they had to come along. So the Vietnamese then had to come along and circumnavigate or circumvent the highways. So they like built this road in between in the jungles.
Totally.
So it's called like the Ho Chi Minh Trail, like, you know.
Right.
So like basically you get on a bike and you like drive this road like in through the jungles, like up this mountain pass, and it's just like winding roads, and like
what?
Waterfalls, just like, you know, like you have to like drive, like the waterfall kind of just goes under the road, so there's like these huge waterfall on your left, and then like it just like sweep in underneath the road that you're driving over. It's just
just can't even hear like stories like this. It just gives me such intense wanderlust.
Yeah.
I feel it so hard. I just want to get to the airport and just go so bad. There's nothing better.
Yeah, but you have to wait 6 months.
I know.
And
I know, 4 months.
I'll just give a quick one on my second one.
Okay.
And my second city, because I love city breaks as well. I think they're like, I don't know, I think it's amazing that like with Europe, because it's such a different cultural climate, like so many different countries, so many different cultures going on, that we're so privileged that we can like take a 2-hour flight, 3-hour flight, and you're
so
like
lucky.
In a completely different like country, and you know, you have different language, everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite city breaks has been Venice.
Oh yeah,
because
God,
it is just a fucking surreal country, like, and like such a surreal city that like no cars, just boats fucking everywhere. Such a walkable city. Like, well, I remember myself and one of my friends Evan went over when I was 17 with my parents. I think I was 17 with my parents,
mm-hmm.
But we just like threw the map away for a day, and we're just like,
it's
literally
better.
We were down in St. Mark's Square, and we said we'll head north,
yeah,
threw the map away, and just walked, and like we hit so many dead ends. We were like, we were walking and we like ended up where we were just standing like on a canal, and we were like, oh, we can't cross here, we have to double back. And it was literally like doing a fucking maze or something, you know. It was
so fun.
It was amazing.
It's so unique, isn't it?
It's
so
amazing. But DJ, over to you, what's your favourite holiday destination?
Mine actually ties in with what you're just talking about with Venice there, and similarly enough, it's a European city, it's an Italian city, it's somewhere I'm going in a couple of weeks with Niamh. And it's Rome. I've been to Rome four times, maybe five. I actually not too certain how many times I've been there, because you know, every time you go there's so much to discover, so much undiscovered. And the beautiful thing about Rome for me is like that, like the first couple of times I went, I had the maps out, I was doing a tourist destination, stuff like that.
Maps out, is it?
No, that's no, I haven't been with Sonia yet now.
Shut but up, y'all.
I went to Rome. I went the last couple of times I gone to Rome, and the last time I was there was with my sister Aoife. And like that, no maps. You know where the landmarks are, you can see the Colosseum, you can see fucking Palatine Hill.
Isn't it mad when you look at the Colosseum and you're just like, thousands of years ago, gladiators were fighting in that. Like, yeah. Caesar was walking.
Do you know
like,
what?
It's just unbelievable, the history.
Do you know the juxtaposition that the Colosseum has with, say, the Stadio Olimpico, the soccer stadium in Rome? And it's a similar shape, a bowl type of thing, and you're going there to see people perform. The only difference is it's not life and death.
Yeah.
Like, it's like society has progressed, but the basics are still there.
Yeah,
still like a bowl
really
amphitheater kind of
Absolutely.
Arena,
yeah.
watching people perform.
Yeah, isn't it? Dance, monkey, dance.
And like, and similarly enough, like the gladiators that were successful were absolute icons and heroes at the time.
Yeah.
And were treated,
so violent.
And even though they were slaves, the like main gladiators were treated like royalty.
Yeah.
Just like soccer stars now, sports stars now are treated like royalty. But the thing I love most about Rome is not the glitz, the glamour, the big like star attractions like the Gladiators Colosseum, like Palatine Hill, like St. Peter's Basilica. That stuff is amazing, really historical. Like Roma Forum is like out of this world. But what I fucking love about Rome is when you ditch the map, like you said, Owen, when you ditch the main streets and you start wandering down these side streets, you come across this little shitty rundown church, and when you walk in, there's like the 17th Pope is buried there, and you can see a skeleton, and the place is covered in gold, or like you're wandering down this street. And like the thing about Rome is, for anyone who's not been and planning to go, the best meal I've ever had in Rome, the best meal I've ever had that wasn't my grandmother's meal I was talking about in a previous episode. How are you, Nana?
That's good continuity there.
Yeah. Listen, that was smooth now, I must say myself. I'm not known for being smooth.
I wouldn't want to be called up on IMDb, like, you know.
No, definitely not. Jesus Christ. But I love just going down them fucking side streets, wandering through and coming across the local restaurants that the proper Romans like use. And
I went to Rome as well, and one of these TripAdvisor like recommended places, and it was called like, I think it was called like La Casa or something, like
the gaff,
really?
Well, it was literally just someone's house, and like, I don't know, like, you know, like about six tables in it, like plastic, you know, plastic tablecloths, like really cheap looking, right? But the food.
But that's what I was going to get to, right?
What it looks like. Do you know
where them type of restaurants originate?
Yeah.
They're seriously significant historical. There's serious historical significance to those type of restaurants in Rome. All those type of restaurants originated from World War II, when they created the ghettos in Rome for the Nazis did. And what they did was they forced people. So basically, they forced Jewish people into these little areas that they were living in, like overcrowded slums, basically. And what ended up happening was they created their own little mini community for those couple of years, and then like a certain person's apartment would be designated as that's the place that everyone goes to eat. And there are still apartments in Rome, apartments and apartment blocks that are designated restaurants, that are like family handed down restaurants from like I was at a restaurant in Rome, and I, for the love of me, can't remember the name or the location. I want to look this up and try and get it out. I'll try and get it out on social media. I don't promise anything. But I was in this restaurant in Rome once, and the patron of the restaurant, the like woman, the head chef, woman running it. There was only room for about 8 or 10 people in this restaurant. And it wasn't like they had no website, just stumbled across it by talking to locals. It was this place. And her grandmother had set up this kitchen to feed fellow Jews during World War II, and her mother did it then after World War II and fed the local community and stuff, like cooking amazing. In her kitchen. And it was just a little micro restaurant in Rome that is like, and she's the granddaughter of a former resident in the ghetto in Rome during World War II. Like,
I think you've just touched on something like really amazing about traveling. It's when you go to these places and you just take a chance on them. You're walking down the street and you're thinking, oh, that looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
It looks kind of local. Maybe something not too touristy. And you go in and you start chatting away to the owners, and these incredible stories just start to pop up.
Oh,
things that you couldn't even imagine people talking about or experiencing.
When I was in Cambodia and we were going out to the killing fields out in Pompeii, was it? We were going out to the killing fields there, like, and our tuk-tuk driver, like, on the way out, but he was just like, my uncle, my father, my brother, like, have all been like killed in the killing fields, like, have just been massacred.
Jesus.
And like, he was just like telling a story of how, like, for 3 months he was like hiding out in a field, like in the nip, like no clothes, nothing. He was like sneak in, like rob food and stuff. I'm like,
Jesus.
And now you're just bringing me out to this tourist destination. I was just like, this is like
absolutely surreal.
Like, you actually, like, we're obviously so privileged, but like,
oh god, yeah,
you just actually can't comprehend that, like, what's going on, like,
in people's lives.
Like, it just puts so much of your own into perspective as well, doesn't it?
But in another sense, like, you going out there to pay your respects to the people that were killed there and stuff, and the visit, like, he appreciates that. And like that thing with Rome as well is it's just amazing that, like, Rome is just the hidden gems. Like, the gems in Rome, the big gems, the ones that are flaunted for Rome, grand, but they're not the ones that bring me back.
No, they're not.
Because I've been to many cities where, like, you see all the big tourist attractions, like, and you're like, that's so true. Yeah,
that's so true.
All right, they're cool, but I've seen them once now. But Rome's a city where, like, every time I go, I find a new gem, I find a new thing that I'm like, and I know that so much is undiscovered. That's definitely my favourite holiday destination, and I can't wait to get back there again. Like,
Thanks, DJ. Sons of your well-prepared
news.
Oh,
God, yeah, jeez.
As always, we spring these questions on our guests.
Yeah, right. Live up to that, because we're class.
I don't know if I'll be able to. I've been very fortunate to do a lot of travelling. It's one thing that my dad has really prided himself on, being able to provide for me and my sister. My dad, Owen.
Shout out to Amar.
My dad.
Shout out. We love him. Go on.
Anyway, he went to Morocco a few years ago and ranted and raved about it. So myself and my best friend Anna, who lives in Australia.
Shout out to Anna.
Hi, Anna Banana.
All our Australian listeners.
See you at Christmas,
totally
Anna.
International. So in 2015, me and Anna decided to go to Morocco for a few days. We were meeting her brother and her brother's fiance there. And like, you know, I'd never really been that interested in it. It kind of fascinated me a little bit, and for really stupid reasons. Like, I've always fascinated myself to be a little bit of a Princess Jasmine and like love Aladdin, and I kind of just felt like if I go to Morocco, I'm just like, one step closer to being Princess Jasmine.
Sorry, I meant the BAP offer.
The BAP offer.
Do you know when he said it, I heard that and I was like, oh, I'm laughing, but I don't know if that's what he meant. Anyway, so we went to Morocco and we landed in Marrakesh, and we decided to do this 3-day trek through the Sahara on a camel. It was just the most unbelievable. It was 2-day trek. Well, 3 days through the Atlas Mountains and through the canyons and all, but kind of 2 days. So this is what was unbelievable about it. So at the very edge, so we basically drove through the Atlas Mountains, drove right from the west in Marrakesh, to the east. And I literally, as we're driving, you could see where the Sahara started. It was like flatland, the beginning of a dune. And then the Sahara was just in front of you. And it was the most unbelievable thing, like, that it was just so distinct and so just there, and you never think of it to be so. I never thought that it would be so. I don't know, just distinct in the way that it showed up in front of me. And so we arrived at this kind of resort base where we like get ready, and our camels were waiting for us, and we all had a there were six of us, myself, Anna, Eddie and Vanessa, and these two other Australian girls, and they had six camels for us. And of course, you know, all the girls, we had our like desert outfits and our like scarves, and we were all very Princess Jasmining it up. And we get on our camels, and we kind of went at the kind of around 5 p.m. So the sun was very, very bright, wasn't setting yet. And as we kind of started trekking over the Sahara, we were just catching the sunset. So we're literally just climbing over these dunes, up and down, around. Everything looks exactly the same around you. Stars are starting to pop out. The sun is starting to go down, and the colors of the sky, I could never even begin to describe to you what it looked like. It was like, it was just,
wow. Yeah.
It was so magical. And our lovely guides, who were incredible, no maps, no technology, no nothing, purely guiding us to this like oasis camp in the middle of the Sahara by the stars and the moon.
That's very cool.
Swear to God. It was like, and like we kept on, I just remember being, looking at Anna being like, dude, like, are we gonna die? Like, is this it? Is this how we're gonna go? Like, how the hell do they know where we're going? And they were looking at us, pointing, like, you see this star, and you see this star, and like, they knew exactly where we were going. They knew which dune to go down, which one to go up, like, which one to cross.
It's hard to beat that, like.
It was just fucking insane. And they'd stop, and right when the sun was just, like, it was like something out of a movie. Like, you have this massive dune in front of you, half of the sun curving around it, a pink and purple sky, and we just took photos. Got back on our camels, another hour, and we arrive into this, it's literally the middle of nowhere, and there's palm trees, and there's tents, and there's music, and you can't see anything, and the only thing that's lighting this campsite is the moon, which is probably the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
You feel like you could like touch it, like it was unreal. And there was, they had these long cloth tables and cushions, and there was maybe 20 of us, and they had music and dancing and wine and traditional Moroccan food and these like huts for us to sleep in, and they were just, it was beautiful. And then they woke us up at 4 a.m. and we got on our camels, and it was starry and dark, and we were exhausted, and all of a sudden, right before our eyes, the sun's coming up, and it's just the most amazing sunrise as we're again trekking back through the Sahara, being led completely by the stars and the moon. It was just like, it was unbelievable. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my life.
Oh, Sons, you put some wanderlust on me for that. That's,
I know, I loved it. It was so
that
good.
That is amazing.
Do you think they'd have reception to record a podcast?
Oh, I wish.
Bring a few cans with us.
I wish. And like, we were taking photos, and we had like, they wrapped our heads in the scarves, and like we had, because there was a bit of a sandstorm on the way over, and we had like face masks, and it was like, just the whole thing, it was just indescribable. Like, it was one of the coolest things I've ever done. So my dad and his mates went to Morocco last year, and they did the exact same tour, and they had the exact same tour guide and everything.
Wow.
And they had the exact same experience, and they said it was unbelievable. It was just fabulous. It was so cool.
I must get on to them.
Go on, Morocco.
Hey, we should go with him the next time.
You should.
Amara, listen to this, and we'll go on for a bit of crack.
It was so fun.
We'll bring a few cans of Kilkenny for you.
I'm sure he'd love that.
So I think, thanks, Hans. That was fucking amazing. Actually, I actually felt like I was there. Like,
it was the first time in my life, and I love Princess Jasmine, that I was like, I am her. This is me. This is my moment. I'm having it. I'm her. It's happened, finally.
Who will be your Aladdin?
Oh, God.
So I think we might just do I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, brilliant.
But just
three very different answers as well. Like,
yeah, completely different. Yeah.
Different continents.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So great.
So I think I'm just gonna go. So it's basically along the same theme, right? But where is a place that you haven't been that you'd like to go?
Ooh.
I'll go first.
DJ, you go.
I've an idea of this. Tierra del Fuego.
Oh wow, it's very specific.
Tierra del Fuego is the most southerly tip of Argentina. It's the last bit of land before the South Pole, like the Arctic. Antarctic,
yeah.
And apparently penguins live there.
Yeah.
So I believe. And just think where it's the most southerly point of the Americas. And just thinking of, like, the, again, like, going back to historical significance, like, imagine Vasco da Gama, like, rounding the tip of Tierra del Fuego, and, like, all these, like, flat earth, like, the earth was considered flat at the time, and
some people.
Yeah,
some of these mad bastards. But, like, they find the West Indies, they find the Americas, and then they are assuming, like, once you go past this, like, you fall off the edge of the earth. And then Vasco da Gama sailing around the tip of Tierra del Fuego and just, like, discovering that, no, it's just the other side of America, and then on to India, basically, is where they went to after that. So I just think, like, it's just a really cool place. It's a really significant landmark in terms of view and exploration.
Awesome.
Like,
sure, even closer to home, like, fucking Tom Crean and the boys, like...
Yeah,
Ernest Shackleton, all the boys would have set off from there to go, like, explore the Antarctic.
That was it. Like, that's where they would have docked. And Jesus, like, it's just the amount of people that have been there from all over the world, like, including Ireland and Britain, and that went on to have a huge, significant impact on like human exploration and our understanding of human life. Like, fuck, it's just a really cool place. And while I would have Machu Picchu and stuff like that that I haven't been to yet, that I'd love to go, that I know you've been to, like Tierra del Fuego, for me, like, I remember I heard about Tierra del Fuego when I was 10 or 11, and ever since I've been obsessed with getting there.
Yeah, I was close enough to it. I went down to Patagonia in Chile, which on the Chilean side of Patagonia.
You're only come on, 100 kilometres away, or
I don't know. Well, Chile's a fucking long
ass country. Really long, is it? Yeah.
It's like the small intestine. Long and skinny.
Indeed.
I know something else.
Okay, I'm thinking.
Something else is long and skinny.
Stop.
Hey, we'd have got another 5 minutes out of that after wanting a female on this episode.
Okay. This female is used to you two shining on about shit like this. Lord.
Yeah, but like, just even like the glaciers and stuff like that, just down there, it's just an amazing, amazing place. And like, we had not originally planned to go to Patagonia, and we got cheap flights, and we were like, I was kind of like on a time strain of like flying. It was towards the end of my trip, and it was like flying home, so I had like 2 weeks left or whatever. But like, got like these like cheapish flights down there, and but like, I could only spend like 4 days, I think, there. So it was like flight, bus down, but like, amazing. Like, I would 100% want to spend longer time.
Oh, I'm going there.
Well, that sounds amazing. That sounds so lovely.
So I'll give a quick bout of where I would like to go.
Go on.
And I actually am going there.
Ooh.
So I'm going there September of next year. September, October of next year.
Is it Canada?
It's not Canada.
Because you're going July of next year.
Correct.
Hi, Asha.
Where I have wanted to go, and I was very close when I was in China, but I really wanted to go to Japan.
Oh yeah, me too. Oh, yeah.
So I've been fortunate enough to get tickets to two of the games of the Rugby World Cup.
No way.
Next year in Japan, and just after seeing like a few documentaries and like hearing like one of my friends as well went to Japan, and like he just said it's just like pretty much just like being in the future, like it's
I've heard that from so many people. Like,
it's meant to be just like in the future, but kind of proper weird as well.
Yeah, but talk about a throwback to like a previous Snogcast episode. Like, they have fully embraced robotics. Like,
yeah,
They're all about the robotics.
Oh yeah, yeah,
including the sex robots.
There's probably robotic shit going on there that we haven't even thought of.
Yeah, like you can probably be sipping your pint at a bar like this, and a robot's wanking you off under the table.
Yeah, 100%.
Not serving the pint. I thought that's where that was going.
Fuck that.
I knew exactly what he was going to say. I swear to God.
You live with me for 2 years.
I know,
you can read my mind.
But, like, what them guys, like, they're not going to waste robotics on serving a pint.
No.
And there's way more, isn't there way more men than there are, no, other way around. Way more women than men. Never mind.
Is there? I don't know.
I think there's way more women. I think there's, like, 2 to 1
fun
women
fact
to male.
Fun snow cast back there.
More like flicking a bean.
Flick your bean for
yeah,
robots.
Flicking the bean.
Green.
Oh my God. I have lived with you for too long.
But I watched an episode of Dark Tourism. Have you seen that on?
I have. It's on my list of things to watch.
So they have one episode on Japan.
Okay.
There, and like he stays in this like fully autonomous, like fucking robot hotel.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like you go in, you're checked in by he gets checked in by like this dinosaur robot in a bellboy outfit. Like he has a like
Rex from Toy Story.
Like. Yeah, but like, you know, like tiny little hat on and like a little like, you know, like official
little
like,
vest like
on, right?
Good Lord.
And like they're, you know, and like in his hotel room there's like a
sex robot.
No, like this kind of assistant robot that's like, you know, will I sing you a lullaby?
Yeah.
And all this kind of rubbish to your man, like, you know.
Fuck's sake.
But it just seems like an absolute bonkers.
It's intriguing, like, to go to Japan next year.
And like, as well, with, you know, do you hear that story about the trains there, right? So the trains there are so, like, in comparison to Ireland, you're talking Dublin bus and stuff, right? Right, that like the trains there are so on time, right, that the Japanese rail company had to issue an apology, and I think they actually had all staff at the next train stop, like they're being like, oh, we're really sorry, like, you know, because the train was 3 minutes late.
Oh,
geez. Like
3 minutes. Imagine
3 minutes. Yeah.
Remember the number 17 bus in UCD that used to take you to Rathfarnham? Never less than 45 minutes
like,
left.
Like, I literally,
like,
no one
literally, like, you're doing well if you got it 45 minutes.
Going to Wembley later. Last Sunday, the Metropolitan line said it was opening at 9:30 from Aldgate East, which is where we were staying. It didn't open until 12. And like there was no update on
12,
Twitter, nothing like
stuff.
And like we were there for like 9:15. At 10 o'clock they were still playing the same message on the intercom, like the train Metropolitan line from Aldgate East will be opening
actually
at 9:30.
Actually yeah. Driving mental.
Got a different line to a different station.
That's
from there.
Sans, what about you?
So I've actually got two. I've got a hot and a cold destination that are kind of my tied for number one, right?
Okay, give us the hot first.
So I'm a massive fan of
hot weather.
Okay, no, so that has to do with my
happy
my cold
hotness.
No, so my hot destination is actually Turkey, but a specific place in Turkey called Cappadocia. So it's these.
Never heard of it.
So Cappadocia, there's one thing that you can do, and it's a specific activity that I've always wanted to do in Cappadocia. I want to see Turkey in general. My parents went in like 2010, and for their 15, or what was it? 2000? I don't even know. Whatever.
We've been 3 times.
Have ya? Oh my God, I'm dying to go. Like
I've
I just.
Ate a turkey.
I'm fascinated. So have I.
Also, see Turkey
every second Monday in October for the fast.
For any Turkish listeners.
31 years.
Sitr Gitar Akfa is Turkish for fuck you dickhead.
Oh wow, good to know. Thanks. Really valuable information.
You might need it.
So Cappadocia is really famous for having these hot air balloon rides that you can do. And it's like such a bucket list thing for me. I've always wanted to see Turkey. I've always wanted to see like the salt mines, and I've wanted to see all the history of the Ottoman Empire because I'm so fascinated by it. Like it's just so beautiful. There's so much history and
very
culture.
Very similar to Rome, but not as celebrated.
Yeah, but like exactly. But like a lot of it does have these kind of connections to India and that kind of aspect of things. And I'm constantly always learning so much about my culture. Drip by drip, drab by drab. So Cappadocia, Turkey is one massive destination for me. But the other one is, so I'm fascinated by hotels. I'm like a massive fan of hotels.
Are you going
and
to
I'm
igloos?
Constantly, yes, in Finland.
Oh my God.
Have you heard of these?
Yes.
It's fucking unreal.
So I want to do a trip.
I want to do this so bad.
I want to do the Finland igloos.
Me
stay
too.
In Finland for a few weeks and then go see the Finnish rally.
Okay, not the rally, but
yeah, you
totally. No, I don't. I don't want to see rally at all.
Finnish igloos are definitely
they're amazing. Yeah. So this hotel in particular in
don't
Finland,
all rallies have a finish line.
Good one, Owen.
Horrendous.
And we'll see you guys later.
That's not being cautious.
So embarrassing. Thanks for saying the most obvious joke on the planet there. But
you saying that has made me instantly need to piss, like.
Me too.
And we'll be right back.
Igloo Hotel
in Finland.
We're gonna stop for a piss
break. And I need a new drink.
And you're back in the room.
Bladder's empty.
Oh, thank God. Drinks refilled.
So, because we have a foreigner...
Fuck you guys.
...on the snugger, we said that we'd ask you a little bit about your experience coming from Canada to Ireland. And primarily, the question is... what's the difference? What are the pros? Maybe what are the cons between Ireland and Canadian culture?
Day-to-day culture, you know.
Yeah.
This is so topical because I've been in Ireland for the past 13 years. I went to university in Dublin. I did all my training there. And after I finished, I had such an amazing time in university. People often ask you, if you could do university over again, would you do it? I absolutely would, and I wouldn't change a damn thing about it. It was so fucking amazing.
I think this topic is going to be really good because you hear so much about Irish people going to Canada.
I know, and like I'm the weird one that won't go back.
You're the dope.
I'm the dope. I'm absolutely dope. After I graduated, I went back. I moved home, basically. I've moved home twice, tried to move home twice in 3 years, between 2012 and 2014. 2011-2014. And so the first time I lasted 8 months, but that was because I was doing a research project, and then I went back because I just missed it. And the second time,
I... What's your research project on? Boring, only investment.
I wasn't even going to tell you because you wouldn't understand.
It was on gin fusions.
Fucking asshole. And then the second time, I barely lasted 6 months. I was so miserable. But the one thing that kept on me, the one consistent thing that I used to think about when I was moving home, moving back, and even when I used to go home for the summer between, the years at college, is the people. It's actually that simple. It was, and to this day, I've recently, in the past few weeks, decided to not move back to Canada when I finish my training. I'm going to stay in Ireland again.
For good this time.
I was 17 when I moved here. My life, I always say born in Canada, raised in Ireland. That is absolutely me.
You're welcome.
Thanks. It's been the best thing ever. And I'm sure my parents are what the fuck did we ever send her here? She won't come home. But honestly, to me, this is home. And there's so many reasons why, but the number one reason is the people. And I love my family at home in Canada and my friends, and they're so wonderful, and I love seeing them, and it's great, but it's the culture, and it's down to simple things like when you go out to dinner and you're having conversation and what that conversation revolves around and the kind of input that people have and the topics and what interests people and what doesn't. I certainly feel like there's a lack of, not ambition, but there's a lack of kind of adventure and wonder, and people get very comfortable in their bubble.
Yeah.
And they're very much, in my hometown, there very much is a bubble.
I think it's
so easy to just stay in that bubble and just be in it and get caught up in the rat race and not want anything more for yourself. And me personally, that fucking terrifies me. That absolutely is my death.
Because I think we're very, as a people, not the politicians, not the people who run the country or anything around it, but as a general people, as a general population, we're very socially aware, socially conscious. 100%. We're very community orientated. Especially when you go outside of Dublin, in my experience, and I'm not knocking Dublin, I know that Dublin in itself is very community orientated in another sense, but I think compared to my experience in other countries, in Ireland, it's all about it's not nearly about you, and if it starts to become about you, you're almost shot down.
Do you know what else it is though? There's a curiosity.
Yeah.
Like, Irish people have a huge, and like this is one thing that I love about the Irish, is that they have a huge sense of wonderment and curiosity about so many aspects of life. And I think that like that is something that I just relate to so much. Like there's so much to see, there's so much to explore, yeah. there's so much yeah. to do, and they very much are interested in what you have seen and done and know, and what they haven't seen, done, and they know. And they want to explore that, and they're willing to take the chance to do it.
But there's a legacy thing, like a lot of poetry and literature that we would have learned in school comes from the darkest times, the famine, comes from people in bed with tuberculosis when there was no cure and facing their own mortality. So like, we're always kind of like, I think we're almost innately brought up to be curious about, you know, what is the deeper meaning in life and blah, blah, blah. And from that, we end up with a bit of a happy-go-lucky attitude, like
it's exactly.
a Thursday, let's go for a few pints and have a laugh, like let's not take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, I think I think one really nice aspect of Irish culture is say, like that curiosity and stuff, right? But it's curiosity about random shite,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
so it's like random things, like, you know, as in like tonight, where have you gone on your holidays or things like that, right? Whereas I have a friend and he's living in New York, he's actually the composer of the Snowcast theme tune.
A musical genius.
An absolute musical genius. But one thing that he was saying to me is that, you know, if he's out with his friends, he said that one of the topics that, like, or, you know, like one of the opening statements that people do is, so like one of the opening remarks from people is, what do you do? Like, so, like, what, like, what's your job? What's your occupation, right? So it's nearly this kind of, trying to feel people out for their
kind of socially place them.
Socially, to 100%. get their status, like their social status, right?
It's like, you know,
whereas like
checkboxing your job, finances, your car, your house, like what have you ticked in terms of life milestones that I can compete with?
And that, or like. Maybe you, or like, I don't know if compete, but like,
or
like
that
definitely,
I can
like,
kind of relate
am I,
to
am I compatible?
Am
with,
I compatible
yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
It.
You know, as in like, can I speak to you because like I'm an accountant and like, are you a solicitor or, you know, are you on the same playing field
exactly.
Are you working? You know, whereas I've been on nights out and I've chatted people for a night. I haven't got their name. Like,
yeah,
do you mean?
Exactly.
Like,
but it's the kind of thing when Ireland is. Nearly once you leave work, what you do in work and what you earn and what kind of materialistic things you have don't matter a fuck. Once you go into a pub, we're all here for the same reason.
That,
to have it,
that right there. That right there.
But even I was
such a huge thing.
I was at a conference there 2 weekends ago, right? And one of the girls there said after, I don't know, maybe like 2 or 3 hours of us talking, she goes, oh, thank God, no work talk. And I was at a conference, like, which is pretty much about like work networking.
Yeah.
But like, she was just like, oh, thank God, we can chat about work without actually having, like, we can chat to ourselves and network without actually having to bring up work as our
That was a conference in the UK.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I think like we go to like say work related Irish meetings or Irish events, and it's basically like the business of the event, fine, but around that, like we don't discuss
work.
Like,
no,
like
no, work
we're there at a work related event, we don't fucking discuss
it. You actually do network better if you get on with people. And, like,
in our work lives, I feel my impression is we're better liked in our work lives for our personalities and for our willingness to talk to people about non work related stuff than our actual capacity to do the work.
Mm. And like that's something as well I think that like really hits home for me is I certainly find that at home there's this culture of like I have to be a certain way in a certain job and act a certain role to be accepted or to be a part of that, and like it's like people, it's like you're playing a role that you think that you need to fit, and like it's very hard I think for people to feel like they can be themselves there. I certainly have found that way, like meeting people in my field, in my profession and in other professions. There's a falseness that's there that you never feel like you break surface with people, like you never feel like you're really talking to them, that's them. And they're also caught up in, I shouldn't say they're all, like, this is very generalized, yeah, yeah, and it's not fair, but there's this culture of being caught up in this rat race where, like, you have to meet the milestones. And I think that very much was very present for, like, my hometown anyway. Like, loads of my friends, and, like, they're wonderful and they're so happy and I'm so delighted for them. It just doesn't suit me. Yeah. Just, you know, married at a young age, had the kid, you know, high school, university, you get the job, you get married, you get engaged, you get married, you have the kids, you know, you get promoted, you get your mortgage. Like, it was very much hitting these milestones and very, like, little in between left for anything else.
Yeah, but life isn't that linear. Like, life is like a river. It just meanders along its own way.
Yeah.
And you find your own little bends and curves and you get around them as you do. And you just find
that's the best part of it.
Yeah, but that's Irish life.
And that's right, Irish life.
Irish life is meandering as you go and just come taking what you get.
No plan.
No plan is so good.
The whole thing, anytime you go for an interview, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Lad, I don't know where I see myself in 5 days.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, come on. Like,
I know.
In 5 days' time, I've half an idea where I'll be because I have a contract and stuff. Like, what'll I do that evening? Not fucking notion.
Yeah.
Like, my biggest fear is, one of my biggest fears is when I'm on my deathbed, like, thinking about that, I wish I had taken that chance, or I wish I had done that.
But, like,
having regret about something.
Like, you have.
Like, I absolutely have. But you know, and that's what I mean. I think there's a lot of, like, you get held back from the things that you want to do because of the things that you feel like you need to do at home.
But you know what I love
and
is the fact.
I just find that so constricting, and I feel suffocated even thinking about it.
Yeah, fucking is a great person.
As they say in Kerry, you're a fuck it.
Fuck it is a great mentality. You know?
And the thing about this is, like, we're here, like, the whole premise of our podcast is it's the Irish pub chat that, in a sense, like, in modern Ireland, but in modern Ireland, it's creeping out a little bit. Like, I see my younger siblings and younger, like, relatives, like, pre-drinking in the house just to get drunk and then going out to go to a nightclub, like, whereas this Irish pub scene, having a conversation face to face and actually fucking talking about stuff that you had no intention of talking about that day.
Do you know what I'll say about that though, Deej? Is like, okay, so think about when you were like 18 to 25, were you that keen and sitting in a pub and having the chat? Like, I was very much about going out.
Oh, listen, I love Callan's in Cork. By the way, we should go to Callan's.
We should go to Callan's.
Yeah, definitely. So myself and Sonia are going out for the Cork Guinness Jazz Weekend this Sunday. Yeah, Sonia's coming to Cork, seeing my parents.
Very excited.
I'm jelly.
Long-term followers of the Snowcastle, remember Dodd from episode 2.
Yay!
So Dodd's going to be there too, and I'm going to bring you guys to Callan's. Have the nicest pint of Beamish you've ever had.
Pint of Beam.
We might even record a few minutes for a future Snowcast to throw in.
Make sure you do.
Yeah, but I'll miss you though.
Aww.
You'll be in Manchester.
Guys, I wish
father.
You could see the way they're looking at each other right now. Good lord.
I'll record one with Limo.
Yeah, you record one with Limo. In Manchester at a United match. But that's the thing though. It's that Irish pub chat. It's the Irish culture of.
Yeah.
Even technology wise, like parts of our rural community don't have, like, broadband. Do you know, like, it's just mad, like, backwards mentality that keeps us grounded.
Yeah.
We don't lose a run of ourselves. And right, like, there are parts of Ireland, in Dublin, Cork, the big cities and stuff like that completely lose a run of themselves and get off.
Well, let me just say that I spent 9 of my 13 years in Ireland in Dublin, and I've been here for the past, this is my fourth year here. And I've decided to stay in Ireland, and I have the choice to really work anywhere I want in the world, and I'm choosing to stay in Waterford City.
I think that says more about the Snowcast than it does.
And these two assholes.
Yeah. What would you?
I love you guys.
Brilliant. That, like, I suppose that sums up Irish culture and why people flock to Ireland and why people love Irish people.
Well, it's the people. I was telling the lads just a quick story of, I had a cousin from LA who came over, and he was staying with me for a few nights in Waterford, and I said, look, sure, we'll go out for a few pints tonight. And he said, you know, he kind of gave me that kind of quizzical look, and I was like, yeah, okay. And so probably about half an hour, about 8:30 at night, I text a few of the lads who were living around the city at the time,
here.
Lads, anybody fancy a pint tonight, like, you know? I'm heading to Phil Grimes with my cousin. So I headed to Phil Grimes anyway with the cousin, and 5-6 of the lads showed up to Phil Grimes.
Aww.
And came
why wouldn't
in.
You show up to Phil Grimes?
Why yeah. wouldn't you, right? So the boys came in and we had maybe 3-4 pints at Phil Grimes. We were chatting away, talking all sorts of nonsense, like, you know, music, football, everything, like, you know. The lads were so inclusive, you know, asking your man about LA and things like that, like, you know. And we headed down to the Woodman afterwards because that was a late bar, and, you know, we had a few more pints in there and stuff. And we only had maybe like 5-6 max pints overnight. And then me and the cousin went back to my house and slept there. But like the next morning, I was like, you know, did you have a good time last night? Because, man, that was. Like, you just don't get that in LA.
Totally.
I'm extrapolating this, but like in America, like, it's just like, yeah. you don't get that spontaneous just communal drinking culture where you're just going out for a few drinks, you're just, you know, having a bit of Dutch courage to a bit of
chat away, like,
a few chats, like,
and we're
know?
So inclusive, like,
so
Irish people are so inclusive on nights out, you know,
and like that's and, like, one of the biggest things, because like I didn't realize everyone talks about Canadian people being so kind, and they really are. But I mean, not like the Irish. Yeah. Like, there is that.
We're just
like,
one big just, fucking family, like.
You yeah. really
the
feeling are.
Is like, we've been through a famine
you
together,
feel
like.
It.
Yeah. But, like, say even that guy from LA, like, you know, as in, like, you're bound to have one of your friends, right, who has a good knowledge of, like, American sports culture or something,
yeah.
right? And he goes, you know, like, oh, you're from LA, like, oh, you know, like,
the Dodgers
doing well in
baseball.
The series.
The Lakers have fallen to shit.
With the Red Sox. Oh, my God.
It's game,
I went to Red
game
Sox
two now. Last night, was
game
it?
Game two last night.
Yeah.
Now we're just getting ahead of ourselves here.
All
I know is that the Dodgers and the Red Sox are in the series.
I think Red Sox won the first game anyway.
I think that's, just give me a bit of credit where credit is due.
Yeah, no, fair play to you.
But that's the epitome of the Irish shy talking and blagging away about something you don't really know about. And Sonia's Canadian and she's fucking bought into it. She's pretty much Irish now. And that's what the Snowcast is all about. And speaking of the Snowcast, we've actually, this is our last episode coming out in October, and it's our 10th episode, and we're hitting a bit of a milestone, and we've actually got an awful lot of stuff lined up for November. It's not really birthday. But we've got an awful lot of stuff lined up for November. We've got an episode coming out on Monday the 5th of November, but after that we've got a good few specials coming out as well. We've an awful lot of stuff lined up. So the first week of November we've got our just regular Snowcast episode 11, which we plan on recording next week, and then we've got a special that week with the real life doctor Simon Calhoun, who I know loads of you have really enjoyed in his two appearances on the Snowcast.
So great.
Absolutely. But Simon has an Instagram page at the real life doctor where he gives lifestyle advice and just general getting healthier tips, advice that is just like small increments, and Simon's motto is loads of small changes lead to big changes. So we've got a couple of things coming up with Simon.
His curry is really good.
Yeah, his curry is
really
amazing.
Really good.
His peas and chorizos are amazing as well. But we've got a couple of things coming up with him in the month of November around men's health, mental health, exercise and stuff like that. So we've got one of those coming out in the middle of that week as well, a special. The week after then, we've actually got a real special episode that I'm beyond excited about. Myself and Owen are going that weekend to Liverpool to see Liverpool versus Fulham, and we're meeting up with my favourite podcast besides the Snowcast, obviously, the Anfield Wrap, and we've got Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Wrap lined up for a special interview over a few pints. I can't fucking wait for that. So that's coming up. We're calling it the Taw Special, Taw for the Anfield Wrap. Any listeners who are familiar with the Anfield Wrap will know it's fucking brilliant. And Gareth's just a regular chap who does podcasting for a full time living, loves pints and loves going to matches. So Then we've got our special episode from Liverpool. We're actually going to go and meet some of our overseas listeners on in Liverpool and have a chat with them over a few pints.
No way.
We are, and we're going to have a special episode. We're going to line up a few of the boys in Liverpool that listen to the Snowcast, have a few pints with them and have a chat about life in Liverpool with those lads.
Wow.
And yeah, that's going to be fucking epic. We're coming up in 19-16 minutes there recording on this segment, lads, so we just bless ourselves for that. And then, look, we've got two more episodes coming up there that basically we're going to have great fucking crack with. I'm away for a week in November, so some of it will be a few bits thrown together from previous bits we've recorded. And I think in November you might actually hear the pre-Snugcast, Snug Chat, in Phil Grimes, where we did the World Cup of Irish Songs as per Joe.ie.
Releasing that?
Yeah, we're going to release that in November. And basically, this is a recording myself and Owen did to hear what we sounded like on recording. And we played it for a few people, including Sonia, to see if we thought the Snugcast to be a good idea. So that's going to be a really special episode. That's going to be one that's going to be close to our own hearts. Fucking keep an eye out for that. So Owen, November, busy month for the Snugcast.
I'm actually so excited for the Snugcast. you're after springing a few surprises on me.
We actually said all these things, but I actually wrote them down on paper in London at the weekend, and Jesus Christ, we've got a lot on.
I actually can't wait. Thanks, DJ. Look, I actually had a really, really good time tonight. I absolutely love this Snugcast, and it's something, like, I think travel and just Irish culture and stuff is something that's really, really true to all of our hearts.
People should travel more, and people
it's
who haven't
so
been
special.
To Ireland should get to Ireland more.
Come to Ireland. I can't leave.
And come to Waterford and get in contact with us and come have a pint with us.
Oh, yeah. 20 quid. 20 quid for a Snugcast tour. Yeah, and on that, we'll leave you be. Slong a fall.
Cadacious long.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.